Reichman University.
Sunny Side Up, where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly Leshock.
Hey! I'm Orly Leshock.
And I'm Leora Baxt.
And here we have our awesome editor, Amy Hittery.
Hey, guys.
You're listening to Sunny Side Up on Audioversity.
This is a mental health podcast where we talk about anything from childhood to parenting styles to coping mechanisms.
And everything in between.
We want to provide you with a new and fresh perspective and not just facts about mental health.
So let's talk about it. You feeling scrambled, Leora?
I think I'm feeling pretty scrambled.
I think it's probably because you were bullied as a child.
I mean, I was. I have three older siblings, so I can confirm that. why are you asking, though?
Well, I think we should talk about youngest child syndrome. I think anyone who meets me can off the bat guess, like, you're a youngest child, you know?
I definitely agree with that. Amy, help me out here. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Orly, you're a youngest child, for sure.
for sure. We have to ask, though, like, does birth order really matter, in your opinion?
I think in many ways, yes. And the main idea, I think, is that it's the foundation of who we become and kind of what we put out into this world, don't you think?
I agree. First and foremost, before we get into birth order, I think it's important to backtrack and go to the root of it, the big five personality traits.
Yeah.
Ocean.
That's the acronym we learned in one of our psych classes for your information.
Let's lay it out. The first one's openness.
Conscientiousness.
Extroversion.
Agreeableness.
And neuroticism.
All right, let's get into it.
First, let's talk about openness. Openness represents how willing a person is to try new things.
So Orly, tell me something, you know, that you can relate to in terms of this trait, openness.
I got a car, and my whole life I had grown up in a house where my house was kosher and we would go out and we would only eat dairy. So I was 16, I was young, I wanted to explore, I wanted to try like non-kosher meat and anything that I never grew up eating. And
for our listeners, can you describe what kosher means?
Kosher is a set of dietary restrictions, and I was just very curious to try everything I was limited to before.
Yeah, and this website that we researched together, verywellmind.com, basically says that, and I'll read word for word, people who are high in openness tend to have a broad range of interests. They are curious about the world and other people and are eager to learn new things and enjoy new experiences. So I think that really plays into your experiences of just wanting to kind of see the world from a new set of eyes, experience things for yourself after, you know, living at home alone basically all of high school.
Yeah.
And just like kind of wanting to do that for yourself. I think that's pretty cool. You didn't really have your older siblings to show you those ways because they were off into the real world already.
You're right. I was all alone.
You were all alone. And I think also within this openness of, you know, trying new things, I think coming to Israel in and of itself, which we'll get into later on, traveling, we're very, very open-minded and we're very excited people. And we want to see the world. And we, even though we're broke students and we don't have the money to do these things, we have so many plans. We have so many plans.
We come up with these elaborate, we like sit down for coffee, come up with these elaborate plans, and
they never
do them.
Let's move on to our second personality trait of the big five.
Conscientiousness.
Yes. It refers to an individual's desire to be careful and diligent.
Again, I'll kind of describe what this means, conscientiousness. It says it's defined by high levels of thoughtfulness, good impulse control, goal-directed behaviors, and highly conscientious people tend to be organized and mindful of details. They plan ahead, think about how their behavior affects others, and are mindful of deadlines.
Yeah, wow. I think that being the youngest sibling definitely kind of set me straight, structured me into a more careful person because of my older siblings, obviously. Like, when I would observe them being so intentional or meticulous about kind of whatever they were doing, I would obviously want to copy them and like do what they do, wear what they wear, eat what they eat. And I think in and of itself, it kind of allowed me to kind of grow up when I was a little younger rather than now. And I think it's a blessing and a curse to be so aware and intentional and like careful, but it can also be a con. It can slow you down in a sense and make you not enjoy the things. Amy, do you have any ideas or thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I think conscientiousness is definitely an older sibling trait, I feel. Like as an older sibling, I definitely feel like that role has been put onto me in a lot of ways, just because I also, like you just said, I mean, as an older sibling, I saw my younger siblings seeing that and watching that in me. And also from the parents' perspective, you know, that's kind of what's expected.
Did you feel pressure, like knowing that your siblings were kind of watching you and you're like, oh, I gotta be better for them?
I don't know if I would say, like, I feel like pressure kind of has a negative connotation. I wouldn't say pressure, but I would say that I definitely felt that responsibility. That's
a good way to put it.
That's for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, moving on to extroversion.
It measures how energetic and outgoing someone is. Like, for me, I walk into a room and I'm excited to meet new people. Me and you, like, we went to Universal and we were in these lines for like an hour and a half and chatting up a storm with this random dad.
It was so fun.
So fun.
So fun. Also, when we were coming back to Israel, we were in the airport and we were talking to this dad from Canada. And it was just like a fun conversation to be in. And we kind of got into like, you know, marijuana and like kind of, and he
Jewish
was like
geography.
Jewish geography and just random topics. And it's just so fun to like just have random conversations with people you will never see again.
Let's not forget that one guy who we were in the Blue Lagoon in Cyprus with.
Oh my God, our best friend and his daughter.
And that was so fun.
That was so fun. It's good. It's fun. You never know what you're going to like.
You never know who you're going to meet. You never know what stories you're going to hear.
Perspectives you're going to see or like understand more.
Guys, get to know your Get and Uber drivers. I'm telling you. Like,
telling
they have
you.
The craziest stories.
So fun.
Should we move on to agreeableness?
I think so.
Agreeableness refers to how an individual interacts with others.
So I think agreeableness can mean so many different things. I think one that immediately was brought to my attention was kind of being open-minded when you're in conversations or in situations and kind of allowing yourself also to be like, I'm wrong. I often go about my conversations or my friendships and like in the beginning when I was still learning all these lessons and friendship lessons and relationship lessons, I would have a really hard time saying that I was wrong because like I didn't want to hurt my own ego and I didn't want to be less than. But now it just makes you more than, and it makes you a stronger person. And saying you're wrong and taking responsibility is so, so damn important. And it just builds you up. And I think that kind of plays into like interactions with other people and just showing that you are that type of person that is just not stuck up and is not only in your ways and your way or the highway type of thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. People who are high in agreeableness tend to be more cooperative, and I think that plays into what you were saying, like letting your walls down, being like, I was wrong. And that in turn helps you in every single relationship in your life, because communication is key. Everybody knows communication is key, and the minute you're able to be like, I was wrong, I did that, let's work on it together, your relationships will blossom.
100,000%. Also, in this website, verywellmind.com, it says people low in this personality trait, agreeableness, tend to be more competitive and sometimes even manipulative. And I think that, you know, we're talking about all this good and all this positive, but like we do have that side of us. We do have that competitive and slight manipulative side in terms of our family members, in terms of our birth order. And I think like now, I think we were always kind of not quote unquote looked at as like less than because we were the younger siblings and we didn't know much and we weren't as knowledgeable and like, oh, you're just the baby. Like, you know, not that I didn't matter, but like I didn't matter.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that made me, when I went out into the real world, as in, like, fifth grade real world, it made me more competitive. It made me a little more manipulative in terms of, you know, getting what I want in terms of my family, not my friends.
Getting what I want when I want it in the moment.
Right now.
Right now.
But, yeah, so just, you know, keep in mind that we're not just good people and we have
we're human.
We're human. But let's take a trip down to the next one.
Last one, neuroticism. Neuroticism represents how likely someone is to experience negative emotions.
Right. So what did verywellmind.com say again?
That neuroticism is a personality trait which is characterized by sadness, moodiness, and emotional instability. And individuals who are high in neuroticism tend to experience mood swings, anxiety, irritability, sadness, all these like negative emotions, really. And it, like, these personality traits tend to make a person more resilient and emotionally stable, and because you have to go through all that.
Yeah. Crap. It also says that it's important to note that neuroticism isn't the same thing as having a mental illness. So, like, if you're listening in and thinking, oh my goodness, like, that is me, it's not you. Don't worry.
Don't self-diagnose yourself.
Do not self-diagnose yourself, because we do it and we don't.
We do it in psych class. Like, we're never every right. single like psych class.
So again, with that, like, it doesn't make you crazy. It just means that
you're human.
You're human, and it's being brought to your attention that these are some things that you represent right now. But it doesn't mean that you can't flourish and be better because you were aware. You know.
Self-awareness is the first step, guys.
Yeah. So now, kind of tying it all back in, I was reading this article that talked about how these five specific traits are very much implemented in firstborns and youngest children specifically.
Yeah, that article was really interesting. It mentioned Frank Selloway, a famous American psychologist, and his research. He said that within the youngest children, we see more extroversion than we do with any of the other like siblings.
Yeah, they. Children. I think that our siblings definitely tested the waters for us. They walked so we can run. We frolic now.
We frolic.
We frolic. But yeah,
I feel like my parents chilled out a lot by the time it came to me having those similar experiences that my siblings had. You know, if my sister had asked for a piercing when she was 18, the immediate answer would be, "No way, no how. You're crazy. Like, don't put a hole in your nose," you know?
Yeah.
But when it came to me, I never really asked. I just kind of casually did it 5 times during my gap year and just FaceTimed them, you know? And I was like, this is me now.
Yep. Amy, wait, so.
Sounds so accurate.
You being, yeah, I was going to ask. You being like one of the older siblings, like, what is your take on her experiences versus yours?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely so true. Like, my mom was way stricter with me than she ever was with my sister. I mean, still, I see it now. My sister's 17, so...
Give us an example.
My mom never let me dye my hair, ever. Like, growing up, no matter what, my friends were highlighting this, that, and she was just like to me, Amy, if you ever dye your hair, I swear to God. I was like, okay. But now, my sister dyes her hair left and right. Like, she actually does it all the time. My mom is pro it. She's like, oh, Chloe, like, what can we do next? Like, do you like it? And, yeah, it's weird. It's weird
youngest child syndrome.
And, like, she doesn't even realize what I went through, Chloe.
Yeah, you got the bad medicine. She's getting the good stuff.
All love. I'm happy I never dyed my hair, but, like, it's crazy to see.
Yeah,
it's
your
crazy.
Hair's beautiful. Everything happens for a reason, right? But based off of the article we were reading also, which Orly talked about before, it mentioned that because our older siblings kind of had different boundaries than us, like, they felt the need to assert more dominance, as in, like, they had different set of parents, which Amy just discussed. And also, like, for example, I would have to tell my sister, my now 30-year-old sister, like, stop being my mom. Like, stop, mom. Thanks, mom. Okay, mom. And, like, but at the now, like, side point, now I learned that, like, it's all love. It's all love. But, like, still.
No, yeah.
Be my sister.
Our oldest siblings tend to act like a third parent.
Yeah. So, like, But then on the flip side, whereas we, the youngest children, felt the need to assert ourselves in a lot of situations, many, many situations, which I think ultimately led us to be more sociable and definitely more extroverted. I really, really think that.
Yeah, I feel like that has to do with the craving of always wanting to be older.
Like wanting your voice to be heard.
Exactly, especially in situations or decisions that had nothing to do with us.
Yeah, and then also Mary Wallace, she's a family therapist, read about her. She spoke about OCEAN, again, which is the acronym we use for the five personality traits. And she's saying that lastborns were scored higher on agreeableness and openness to new and to new experiences. What do you think that means? Give me something.
I mean, just relating that back to me and my experiences, I feel like out of me and my siblings, I was the risk taker out of the three of us.
Okay.
In a good way and bad way. Like my siblings and I all did gap years, and as much as they love Israel, I grew up in a very Zionistic home. Mm-hmm. I was definitely the one who decided to drop everything in America and start from scratch here. You know, when I was 18, I had a blank slate. What did I do? I went on gap year and I stayed.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a big one. That's a big step. That's a very exciting step. But like, you have to mention the bad stuff too to make our listeners know that we're not all good.
Of course there's bad stuff. I mean, I had my fair share of bad experiences. I was so impulsive in high school and risk-taking wasn't always fun. I was like experimenting with drugs and alcohol, and I pushed these boundaries that my siblings never really crossed when they were that young.
Yeah, like it wasn't all fun and games. It was a wild ride of risk-taking, impulsive decisions. Yeah.
Wild ride. But that's why I never really know if people guessing that I'm the youngest child is a compliment or an insult. Amy?
What do you think?
If it's a compliment or an insult? I don't think it's either. I don't. I just think that, like, it's cool. I honestly think it's cool that, like, people can like
pick up on that.
Pick up on traits that you have based off of your birth order. I think it's awesome.
Honestly, yeah, it's pretty fascinating. Like how people can just be like,
you're the oldest.
Yeah, it's like such a common question, I think. Like, oh, where do you think I lie in like my birth order, basically? Yeah. Like, and then people like, get it right and you're like, "Wait, how'd you know that? What about me? Did that give it, like, what gave it away?"
I find myself in that conversation a lot, and probably because like I always bring it up because it's so interesting, but I'm always having that conversation. What about you, Leora? Any fun side effects of youngest child syndrome you'd like to share?
I think some other traits that are you describe lastborns that I can relate to are kind of in the realm of also open-mindedness and a lot of solution seeking.
Lay it on me, brother.
If anyone hasn't watched She's the Man, you should, because that was a reference.
Great movie.
I feel like my outgoing side comes out when I'm feeling really inspired. I think in the sense of like when I'm in a really good and healthy time in my life, I really try to appreciate the world around me and interact with it in a way. If you get what I'm putting down.
I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Brother. So like the other night, you know exactly where I'm going with this. Some friends and I were walking to get some food, and in the moment I genuinely felt so compelled to just strut, because it was kind of like a long walkway and I was like, why don't I just strut and like, you know, vibe out. And all of a sudden I break into dance, because like I pass a shop that like has a great song playing, and then next thing I know, this guy is just vibing out with me. He's dancing and he's singing with me, and we just absolutely made each other's night. And I think that's going, like, kind of seeps into the idea of like just open-mindedness and like just kind of being one with the world and interacting with it in so many different ways. And open-mindedness doesn't always have to be about, oh, I'm open to your opinion, I'm open to your suggestion. It's being like, oh, I'm open to like being carefree right now and
not caring about what people think.
There you go.
That moment was so cute. He hugged you and you guys were just vibing, and it was so fun. It was just such like a humans being humans moment that I was just watching and admiring. And
yeah, it was fun.
But not to quote you, but I will, there's bad stuff too.
No, for sure, dude. For sure. I think like, I'll say it plain straight, with my family members, I'm like low key, so manipulative. At least used to be. Let's use past tense here. I was low key so manipulative.
Yeah, it's kind of what we were saying before. Like, I get what I want when I want it. It's kind of working the system.
Yeah, we know how to work the system. Amy, do you know how to work the system?
Clearly not as well as the youngest children.
Yeah, but like, we don't need to get all into that, but I just want to let y'all know that it's just with our families. We're good friends. I promise.
Yeah, I think we kind of, like, what Wallace was mentioning in her article was that we use the role of the baby as the family to get what we want when we want it.
Yeah, exactly. So kind of taking it back, let's roll it back a bit to some previous points we've made about having to overcompensate in situations because we do not always feel seen or attended to. So Mary Wallace's article mentions this too again. She explains that, quote unquote, lastborns are generally not the strongest or smartest in the room, so they have to seek attention in other ways.
I feel like I always was seeking more attention, wanting more attention because my accomplishments weren't original in a way, you know? They were just sort of expected from me.
Yeah.
My siblings reached all those big milestones and moments before I even had the chance to.
Well, yeah, our siblings got the big kid jobs first paycheck, their licenses, applying and getting into universities, and also the little things like riding a bike for the first time, which I know you can't do.
Why are we saying that on air? It's so embarrassing. Yeah, but expectations too, you know? My sister was constantly getting all A's, and when it was my turn to take those same classes 6 years later, mm-hmm. getting A's wasn't an accomplishment. It was an expectation. There was more of a reaction when I got a bad grade, you know? My dad would print out my mid-semester progress reports and circle things that I didn't have the chance to even turn in yet.
Right.
And it was just like, why are you focusing on that?
Yeah.
You know, just trust.
Yeah.
Amy, want to chime in there?
What was your perspective? Like, where were you at when kind of like this type of stuff was happening?
When it came to school?
Anything. But yeah.
But yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I think in my family, I was always really responsible when it came to I was always really responsible when it came to school. And I definitely think that, like, looking back, my parents, if my younger siblings had a hard time in school, would always kind of just be like, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why you're having such a hard time. And like, I feel bad now looking back that it was maybe compared to me. I don't know. I guess, like, hearing what you guys have to say, it was. But yeah, it's definitely. But then on the other hand, I mean, on the flip side, if you want to, like, put it back onto an older sibling, because they had a harder time, it was almost all the more so because I was older that I was expected to still do well. So if I struggled, it was like, how can you struggle also as an older sibling? Like, look, they're all looking up to you. And so, like,
so there was some slight pressure, I think
I put it in my own head.
Yeah.
But yeah, because I never also wanted to be a part of, I don't want to say the problem, because it's not a problem, but like, I also couldn't struggle, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Also, I want to touch on, like, the thing you said about maybe comparison. And definitely when I was younger and in high school, I would always kind of get upset with my sister because I was like, why are they comparing me to you? We're not the same person. But looking back now, like, that's so unfair for me to do to my sister because it wasn't her fault that I was being compared, you know?
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, now, obviously more mature and learned a lot of lessons and I'm out of the house, I really understand that it really all stemmed from a place of love and commitment and parenting, good parenting, matter of fact. And I think we just kind of have to appreciate that aspect too. And it's not just, it wasn't all just quote unquote bullying.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I think after like hearing all of the perspective also, like, understanding your siblings' point of views just like makes the relationship that much stronger.
Yeah.
Also, you know, like you guys listening to an older sibling perspective, an older sibling listening to a younger, like the minute you understand what each other needs, like everything just gets better. The relationship makes more sense, like become friends more, you know, like it's really cool.
My sister always says, like, sometimes you're the big sister and sometimes I'm the big sister, and we just kind of switch that role now. Now that I'm older, at least.
You're so old.
But you're right, Leora. Like, it did all stem from a place of love and good parenting. And obviously growing up, I had my challenges with it, but we're not going to get into parenting styles this episode.
Wink.
Tune in.
100,000%. But to end off, even though most of the studies we looked into said that there were no real significant results, we know there's definitely, from our experience, the psychological phenomena around youngest child syndrome. And I think we feel it, our friends feel it, and definitely our older siblings feel it.
Definitely feel it. Before we head out, I think you guys want to hear an exciting fact about eggs.
I'm so excited for this. So our cool egg fact
of the day
is, ready for it? Drum roll, please. The yolk and the whites have the same amount of protein.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So just to clarify for y'all, gym rats, both the egg white and egg yolks contain 3 grams of protein each. So while we traditionally associate eggs with the egg whites with protein, they don't really have an advantage over the yellow counterparts. So the main difference, however, is the calories, if you were curious.
That was exhilarating.
Excited.
Ecstatic. Thank you for tuning into Sunny Side Up.
Have an excellent day.
Leo, are you still feeling scrambled?
Still scrambled? Nah. I'm going to choose the sunny side.
Sunny Side Up. Where every conversation is a step towards a brighter mind. With Leora Baxt and Orly Lachat.
All our shows and podcasts available online on our website and on all podcast platforms. Search Audioversity. Carly.